Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am ending my first week of teaching on a series that I've entitled Killing Sacred Cows. If you've missed my explanation on last Monday why I entitled it this and stuff, you need to go back and get that. We've got it archived on our website, but you need to get this. Basically, I'm just talking about that there are religious teachings that we have treated as if they're sacred cows. When I was in India, there were cows that would walk down the streets into homes and nobody would touch them because one of the segments of religion over there believed that these were reincarnated people and they were sacred and you couldn't touch them. And they just walk into houses and destroy things. People were dying of starvation, but nobody would kill one of those cows and eat it because it was a sacred cow. And we have some religious doctrines like that, that people just won't touch. And I've already talked about an extreme wrong teaching on the sovereignty of God. And so we dealt with that. And then I was also just countering all of these just different religious doctrines that, according to Mark chapter 7, verse 13, make the Word of God of none effect. And so this is what we've been dealing with. And the last thing I was talking about is how that there is a perception of God through the Old Testament that He's angry and vengeful and He is going to judge you based on your performance. And there are reasons to believe that based on the Old Testament law. But in the New Testament, it's explained why there was this harshness and wrath of God under the Old Covenant. And it was literally to just knock your self-righteousness out of you, to show you how angry God was at sin so that you would quit being deceived into thinking that you could be in right standing with God based on anything that you ever did. That was the reason, the purpose of the Old Testament law. One of the slickest deceptions that Satan has ever put across is to get religion today to embrace the Old Testament law not as something harsh that was to condemn and drive you to your knees and make you give up so that you could receive salvation by grace. But instead, religion has presented the law as this is what God demands. And they're totally misusing it. And they're saying that this is the way He wants you to live. No, God gave you His standard. It's like, somebody saying, well, show me what I must do. And you say, all right, you want to know what you must do? Here's step 1 through 10,000. Not so that you could do them all. God knew nobody could ever keep the law. Matter of fact, when Jesus came along, one of the things He did was explain that those of you who think that you have kept the law because you haven't murdered, He says, if you've ever hated your brother in your heart, you're guilty of murder. Those of you who think you've done wonderful because you've not committed adultery, if you've lusted in your heart, you've committed adultery. And He peeled back a few more layers of this thing to show that even if you had the desire in your heart, you're guilty. And nobody has ever lived their life without ever having the desire to sin, hate, and hurt a person or lust after another person. You may have been through religion or something, you might have restrained yourself from committing the acts. But when you start looking at the motives of the heart, and if you have even thought it or desired it in your heart, you're guilty. Then that makes all of us guilty. And this was the purpose of the law, was to knock you flat of your face so the only way you could look was up. And one of the slickest deceptions that Satan ever put across was to get the church to embrace the law as being a wonderful thing to help us instead of the thing that is meant to knock you flat of your face and knock your self-righteousness out of you. And so I've countered those kind of things. What I want to talk about today, and then again on our program next Monday, is the same material. It's the same point that I tried to get across in my recent teaching that I did entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. I spent 5 weeks teaching on that. I got a brand new book on that subject, a hardback book, first one we ever put out like that. And so I've already covered this in detail, but again, it needs to be at least mentioned, and I'm going to spend just 2 days talking about what I spent 5 weeks talking about a month or so ago. And I'm just going to talk about this briefly to show how we are supposed to respond to God. What's His part and what's our part? And this is another major religious doctrine or sacred cow that has hindered people from receiving because they don't know what God's part is and what our part is. It's confused. And this tradition and doctrine of man makes the word of none effect. And so what I want to do is to show that God, by grace, has already provided everything. He provided everything you will ever need. He anticipated everything that you would ever do wrong. Through His foreknowledge, He knew every sin you and I would ever commit. He knew this hundreds, thousands of years ago. And when Jesus came to this earth and died for our sins, He didn't just die for the sins that had happened up to that point. He paid for all sins for all time. And so nearly 2,000 years before you and I were even alive, our sins were anticipated and paid for. All of that sin and iniquity was placed upon Jesus. And Jesus, by grace, provided forgiveness of sins for you before you were born, before you had ever committed any sin. It was already provided. Now, see, that's grace. That means it had nothing to do with you because you weren't even here yet. You hadn't even done anything yet. So it had nothing to do with you. And the very fact that it was done 2,000 years ago in Christ shows you that it is not in response to you. Grace isn't something that God gives. When you live holy enough or do enough or pray enough or seek Him enough, then God extends grace towards you. No, God's grace is unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. It has nothing to do with you. It is only dependent upon the goodness of God. Because of God's goodness, He extended grace towards you. But a scripture that I used a lot in this teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And that verse says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That says you're saved by grace through faith, not by one or the other. And this is where so much of the body of Christ is making a mistake, because they will either emphasize the grace of God or they'll emphasize faith, but very seldom do they put them together like it did here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. You're saved by grace through faith. You have to combine those two. If you take grace by itself and say it's just totally up to God, then that leads to you being passive. There's no point in seeking the Lord, building yourself up, praying, studying the Word, or doing anything, because after all, it's just all up to God. That's the sovereignty of God. It's just the grace of God. And so that leads to passiveness, and ultimately, it leads to a sinful lifestyle. It leads to sin, because people think, well, after all, God is just all the grace of God, and it doesn't matter what I do. And if you overemphasize grace, or if you emphasize grace without putting in our positive response to it, which is faith, well, then it'll lead to these abuses. Either just total passiveness, where you think everything is up to God, or a sloppy lifestyle where you go out and live in sin, because after all, God loves you in spite of it. Those two things are both wrong. But the abuse of faith over here, if you just talk about you've got to do this and we've got to respond and we need to believe and we need to study the Word and we need to go to church, and if you only emphasize what we do and you don't make it clear that our faith is just a positive response to what God has already provided by grace, if you don't make the connection between grace and faith, well, then just emphasizing faith by itself leads to legalism. It leads to arrogance, people thinking that they deserve this and that they're going to make God do something, that their faith is going to move God. And it will ultimately lead to condemnation, because nobody will ever live up 100% and do everything that they should. And if they aren't depending upon the grace of God, if they're just depending upon their faith, then their whole world is going to come crashing down around them, because they are not worthy of receiving the things of God. And so all you have to do to have error is just take a truth to an extreme at the expense of other truths in the Word of God. And this is what a lot of people have done with grace and with faith. Some people will just emphasize grace and they don't, doesn't matter what you do. If it's God's will, you're going to be healed regardless of what you do. No, that's wrong. And that'll lead you into error. Or some people will emphasize that, man, you've got to believe God. And they will start emphasizing what you do to such a degree that they forget that your faith doesn't make God do anything. God isn't responding to your faith. It's not based on how holy you live. God, by grace, has already provided everything. And faith is just a way to reach out and appropriate what God has already provided. If you don't put these things into a balance, you're going to be in error in either one of these things. And so this, see, is another religious doctrine that I believe just totally voids the power of God. For instance, let me give you an explanation. Let's just say that a person has heard about the grace of God, and it doesn't matter what you do, and they haven't had it balanced with that we have to have a positive response. You know, when I taught on this, I went into quite a bit of length or effort describing 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul said that God's grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than you all. God's grace can be made in vain or it can be voided. You can void the grace of God if you don't mix it with faith. And see, some people haven't got this in balance. And so what they do, they just sit there and say, well, it's just the grace of God. If God wants me healed, I'll be healed. And so the person doesn't pray. The person doesn't study the Word. They don't stand against the lies and the deception and the things that Satan is using to put fear in them. And they just are passive because, after all, it's just totally up to God. And you know what? If that's the approach you take, a person like that will die from sickness if it's a terminal disease. I mean, if it's something that is life-threatening, well, then their faith won't stop it because, after all, they aren't using their faith. They're just totally depending upon the grace of God. On the other hand, let's take the same example that a person's got a terminal disease. But if they don't understand that God, by grace, has already provided their healing, and He's placed this power, the raising from the dead power, on the inside of us, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. If they don't understand that this is already done, and that by His stripes you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24, you don't have to wait on God to heal you, but God by grace has already anticipated this, and through Jesus healed you, it's done. If they don't understand this, and then if they don't understand that through faith, you aren't making God do something, but you are enforcing what has been done. Now, because you believe God has provided it, you are going to stand and take your authority and you're going to speak to this mountain and command it to be cast into the sea, Mark 11:23. And you are going to resist the devil and he will flee from you, James chapter 4, verse 7. And see, if a person doesn't take their faith and use it, well, then they're going to die. And if they are emphasizing that you've got to do this and you got to speak, but if they don't understand that God has already provided it, if the emphasis is on just faith without grace, then it's going to lead this person into saying, oh, God, have I done enough? I fasted, I prayed, I studied the Word, I spoke, I've done everything. Oh, God, when are you going to move? See, the truth is, by grace, He's already provided it. And if you don't emphasize the grace of God, well, then faith will get you worn out and into condemnation. It'll get you to feeling like, I did this and this and this, step 1 through 3, and God didn't do this, and you'll get mad and angry at God. Man, I hope that you're understanding what I'm saying. I'm trying with my best to make this clear in just a few words. But very few people have this thing in balance. There are these two sacred cows. I guess you could divide this segment into two things. That some people just think it's all up to God. Some people think it's all up to you. But very seldom do they understand that God has a part. That's grace. You have a part. That's faith. And these two things have to work together to be able to see the power of God manifest. Let me use this scripture out of Ephesians chapter 3. And in verse 20, it says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You will often hear people take that 20th verse and they will just say, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," period. And they just stop right there. I've actually been in churches before where I just quote this verse. And I'll get up and say, "How many of you believe God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think?" And I'll just stop right there. And the pastor, "Amen, man." And I one time had a pastor stand up and raise his fist, "Yes, yes." And then I said, "That's wrong." And it just, shocks people. What I'm trying to do is get them to think and realize that that's not all of that verse. It says, "Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Now see, the first part of the verse is what God can do. And if you really understand it, He has already done everything through Jesus. He's already provided your salvation, the forgiveness of your sins. He's already provided your healing, your prosperity, your deliverance. God is able. God has provided these things, but it is dependent upon the power that is working in you. That's what it means when it says according to the power that worketh in us. The word according to means in proportion to or to the degree of. God is only able to release healing in your body to the degree or proportional to the way you believe. If you aren't believing, even though God has already provided your healing, if you are born again, He's put the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It will not manifest itself in your body until you start believing. It's proportional to, according to the power that works in you. No power working in you, no faith working in you. Instead, if you have heard the doctors tell you you're going to die and you fall apart like a $2 suitcase and fear takes hold of you and now you're grieving, you're going to die even though you've been born again and have this supernatural power. Because see, God's grace is there, but your faith isn't there. Again, I go back to Ephesians 2:8. You're saved by grace through faith. You have to combine those two together. Grace alone will not set you free, save you, heal you, deliver you. Faith alone will not set you free. You have to put faith in God's grace. And it's only when you combine the two that you begin to get this. And so you see the whole body of Christ divided into either emphasizing it's all up to God, or you'll see others, it's all up to you. You do this, this, and this. Either one of those religious doctrines will make the Word of God of none effect. And the sad fact is there's a truth on both sides of this issue. But truth without a counterbalancing truth or a complementary truth isn't truth at all. If you leave part of the truth out, you can totally change the conclusion that a person comes up to. You know, I'm sure that all of us have seen this, that there's times that, you know, you are asked about something and you just don't tell the whole truth. And you didn't lie. You didn't say a single thing wrong. You just didn't tell the whole truth. I just had a real good example of this. I had a horse get out yesterday, and I don't know why this horse got out, but I do know that the day before that, I was walking through that pasture and I turned off the electric fence because I didn't want to get shocked. I forgot to turn it back on. And I don't know if that's why this horse got out, but it would be logical that this horse got out because I turned off the electric fence. Well, when I was told about this, they told me this horse was out. Nobody asked me anything, so I didn't volunteer. I never lied. I didn't say a thing, but you know what? I didn't tell them everything that was pertinent to it. And, of course, the horse was recovered. Everything's fine. It all worked out. But I'm just saying I didn't volunteer this information. So in a sense, see, if you only take one side, if you just talk about this, the fact that the horse got out, but if you don't tell the other side, it could give a total different impression of the situation. And you can do that same thing. You can just talk about faith and emphasize faith, what we must do, but you've always got to balance it with your faith is just a response. It's a way of reaching out and appropriating what God has already provided by grace. And if God hasn't provided it by grace, your faith can't make Him do it. Faith doesn't move God. Faith doesn't make God do something. I tell you, this is profound. And this literally changed my life. You know, I hadn't got time to give you my whole details and my whole personal testimony, but just very quickly, I was raised in a situation where all the emphasis is on what I must do. And I tried to be holier and live holier than anybody I knew. And I was doing it to the best of my ability, and it was wearing me out. And I just failed. Even though I was better in keeping all of the rules and the regulations than anybody I knew, it was never enough. And then I had this miraculous encounter with the Lord in 1968. And for the first time in my life, I realized that I was unworthy and that I wasn't living up to the standard. And the Lord showed me the motivations of my heart, and I realized that I was corrupt. And for the first time in my life, I really saw how ungodly I was. And it was at this time, at my worst, not when I was at my best, not when I was doing everything right, but when for the first time I finally realized I was totally wrong, that I experienced the love of God. And I knew intuitively, because of the way that it happened, that it had nothing to do with me, that God loved me completely independent of any worth or value. He loved me because He was love and not because I am lovely. I knew that. And so I had this revelation, this experience based on grace, and yet at the same time I'd been taught my whole life I had to do all of these things. And even though I may not have understood it all, I knew there had to be a kernel of truth there. I could see faith, but I had lived grace, and they seemed opposites. And you know what? It was a struggle, and it took me years. But when I finally understood this and combined grace and faith together, to where faith isn't something I do to make God respond in grace. No, grace is something God does independent of me prior to my need. So it has nothing to do with me. And then faith is just my positive response. It's just reaching out and taking what God has already given me. When I saw that, it changed my life. And, you know, I believe that there's some of you watching this program today that just through those few things that I've been able to say today, that this has helped you to connect some of the dots, that you're getting revelation, that you are beginning to understand some things. And this is killing those sacred cows, those religious doctrines that have either put you into guilt and condemnation because you haven't performed well enough, or it's lulled you to sleep over here because it's just totally up to God. Hopefully, this teaching is helping you to get the truth on this. And I believe it'll make a huge difference in your life. Now, I am going to continue this teaching on my programs next week. And so I encourage you to listen in. Also, you can go to our website. We have all of these materials available there. We also have this new product that's entitled Killing Sacred Cows. We have a CD, a DVD that is taken directly from our television programs. And then I have a live DVD that was made at a recent Gospel Truth seminar where I taught on these exact things. And I tell you, this teaching would bless you. And the complementary teaching, or the supplementary teaching that goes along with this, is my new book and my teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith. Listen as our announcer gives you that information, and then join me again next week as we continue the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or you can get a DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1063C for the CD, T3207D for the live DVD, or T1063D for the as seen on TV DVD when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the Killing Sacred Cows series titled Who's Responsible is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK-159C. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. This product is available on either CD or in a hardback book. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request T-1064C for the CD album or T-228 for the book. To write us, use the address on your screen. If you prefer, you can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I believe that the Lord really spoke to many of you today and touched your heart. And you know, you just need to do something. The scripture says, I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, that God is faithful and just to keep that which we commit unto Him. Many of you have understood some things and put it together, but you know, you need to make a commitment. You need to do something to solidify this. And you could call and ask for our materials, but also as you call, you could pray with a prayer minister and, you know, just say, pray with me. I want to walk in the balance of this grace and faith. I want to take my responsibility seriously. And if you would do that, I believe it could make a difference. So I encourage you to call and get the materials, but also call and ask for prayer.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. This is going to be a special time. I've got a special announcement to share with you. This will be my first time to share it publicly. And I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.
God has provided everything by grace. You don't have to go and tell God your need and get God to do something.